Who set this chair up for me? Dora did that? Well, God bless you, Dora, wherever you are. Feels pretty good. I knew I couldn't sit on my stool that I like to be on. I hope you can all see me okay. But can't sit on anything hard that pushes all this for a little bit. But I want to just really jump into this so I don't keep you here a real long time. And I want to share a few things, because if it ever happens to you, one of my, as we all would do, one of my, your exploratory questions, your journey, your search is, God, why is this happening to me? What purpose do you have in it? And every single one of us have been there. And if you haven't, I got news for you, you will be. Where you go through things in life and you don't understand why. I mean, I'd been through 5 procedures before this big one. So I was worn out and was starting to slowly hit the wall with energy and things that I wasn't saying everything here, because I thought surely the next one. And when they took me in on the 29th and for the doctor, another surgeon, to go inside and look and do this, and he woke me up and said, "Buddy," and they were so great over there at Brook Army, and he told me, he said, "It's too dangerous. I can't do this. Somebody's really done a job on you." And so I'm just lying there going, okay, that was on a Wednesday. It's like, what next? And then Dr. Krell, the oncology surgeon, came in and he said, "I tell you what, I'm going to give you a free night stay here." He said, "I'm going to let you spend the, you know, I'm going to put you in the hospital here and let you spend the night." And he said, "Then Friday, I'm going to get this thing taken care of." He said, Dr. McGulick, who went in there, he said he deems it too dangerous. And he said, "We work together." So you're lying there and you're going, what's this all about? 5 procedures in 6 months, and I'm still not out of this? And I finally quit asking the question. I couldn't ask anymore. And so they put me in the first ward. I was in the gunshot knife stabbing department. And they told me that. They said, I said, "This is strange ward that I'm in." And they said, "Well, you're just staying here tonight." They said, "Dr. Krell said, just give him a night on us." I said, "Oh, well, thank you. Not every hospital does that." Okay. But they said, "Only opening we had right here right now is in the," they said, "this is our trauma ward for gunshot and knife victims." And I said, "Well, oh, that's nice." And so anyway, I spent Thursday there and Thursday night, and then Friday, the big stuff began to take place. And when I came out of that one, first thing I asked was, "What time is it? Is it about 5 o'clock? I thought it was 5 in the afternoon, from what they told me, and, you know, it should be. And they said, no, it's 11 at night. And I was just in shock. And it's like, what happened? I said, "We'll talk about it." And so that's when I found out everything that had gone on. So I want you to know that night was okay. They got me in my room, and the nurse said, "I don't guess you want to walk, do you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "If I don't, I don't want to give in to this, and I'm going to walk." She said, she said, "You don't have to. It's going to hurt." I said, "Better hurt now than later." Well, that was a little bit boastful. Because when I pushed myself up, she tried to help me, and I said, "I'll do it myself." And I did. I pushed myself up, and I slid off that bed, and I grabbed that walker, and I started walking, and I felt like that everything in my body was just blown apart, that I walked. And I was determined, I'm not going to let this beat me. So anyway, the next day, I was walking before they came in the room, and I kept doing it every day. But I want you to know that next night, the worst pain I've ever had in my life hit me. And I couldn't understand why God was allowing this. And I've never been where I've whimpered with pain in my entire life with all the stuff I've been through. But I did that second night. And I mean, I whimpered. I didn't cry and all that. I just, the whole night was in misery. And so the next morning I thought, I was sick. And the Lord put on my heart, get out of that bed and start walking. So I did. And I mean, where I thought I was going to fall on my face, but I wasn't going to quit. And everything began to work out. And it all began to go away. Did I have any revelations? Did God come in the form of an angel? No, I'll tell you what happened. I had hallucinations. I saw people that weren't there. I saw creatures that weren't there. He told me, and I mentioned it, and he said, oh yeah, with what we had to give you and all that anesthesia, he said, you hallucinated. I saw people hovering over me, and I was trying to knock them out of the way. I couldn't get them away from me. And I woke up once, and there was someone there, and they were breathing on my face, and I could get away, and it was all that. But there wasn't any answers from God. And I stayed the whole hospital stay and went through it all. They sent me home, and the next day I'm back in the emergency room with a fever, 103 point something. And called, and he said, get back over here quick. So my sister and cousin and all were there at the house, and they ran me back to Fort. That's a long way from my house to Brook Army. This all ties in here because I want to share with you a truth, just truth that had to be learned from all this. I had to go through this to learn a truth I knew in my heart, but I've never brought a message on. I don't know why. On the way to the emergency room, just before I got there, where the drain tube was, not to make anybody queasy or anything, but it opened up. By the time I got to the emergency room, I looked like a gunshot victim. It didn't take them long to admit me. I mean, and they saw me, and it took 5 minutes. I was back there in a room. It was like, oh man, and they thought I was shot. And immediately my fever went down. Surgeon came in, he's examining me, and he said, wow, look at this. It's like, yeah, look at this, you know? He said, that's the best thing that could have happened to you. He said, you did it yourself. I said, what? He said, that where we took the drain tube out, closed up. And he said, when it does that and that's all in there, your temperature is going to spike. And he said, that bouncing around in the car, getting you over here, opened it up. And he said, and it's like, you're a sly one, Lord. And it was about 5 miles from Brook Army when it opened up. And he said, that's the best thing that could happen. Now we don't have to do anything. We'll just clean you up. Let you sit here while I'm going to run some tests. And they did. And he said, well, you're good to go. Go home. I was like, thanks a lot. And I got home. And the Lord began to speak to me. And I'm going to share with you what he showed me. And there's some passages up here because God never told me why I went through this. He hasn't yet. We all expect answers, and I come here and I'm supposed to give you answers. I have answers to some things, but not what I wanted to give you. I had people telling me maybe you're going to witness in the hospital and do all that. Maybe the witness was through the one nurse came in and she said, you're a very independent man, aren't you? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I have had to be that way all my life. I can't wait for somebody to help me. I got to do it. And she said, you're doing it. You won't let anybody get you up. You won't let anybody help you walk. And she said, it's in the long run. And you're going to be way ahead. And the doctor told me when I went to see him this last week, he said, because of that, you're a month ahead. See? You're a month ahead because you would not let pain or anything stop you. It's not me. It's just the way that God's put in my heart, friends. We can't give in. But the Lord began to show me something that I've known in my heart, but I didn't want to deal with. So here it is. First of all, our first point today is that evil, sin, suffering are a real part of this world. I've heard people try to explain for God why that all this is here. Why is there sin? Why is there suffering? Why is there evil? When God made the angels, did he know a third of them would rebel and led by Lucifer? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Did God know then when he cast him out what he was going to do on earth? Yes, he did. Did God know in the Garden of Eden, when he created Adam and then Eve, did he know they were going to disobey? Yes, he did. Friends, I've heard too many TV pastors and theologians, so-called, through my life, try to explain for God. You know, we got to make excuses for God. God does not tell us why he allowed all this. But God is a big God, and he takes the hits on his own shoulder. He doesn't ask us to make excuses for him. I had to go through all of this to finally face the fact, when people have asked me for 40 years of doing ministry, why does God allow this on earth? And we'll hopefully get to some of that in before this is done today. But let's accept for the moment, and hopefully we don't have too many holdouts this morning, that everything that's on this earth was allowed here. And it happens for purposes that we'll never know. What happened to me is, I probably will never know on this earth. And what's happened to you in some situations, you'll probably never know. But God knows. And things happen, and sin and suffering and evil in this world, it is just part of it. It was allowed. And don't make excuses. People blame God for, you know, this and that and all the bad stuff that happens. God's a big God. I don't have to stand up and say, well, this and that, and try to make up something. He's a big God. And he knows why he allowed it, and he doesn't have to tell us anything. And that's what he began to speak to my heart about, is I don't owe you anything, Tony. I do not owe you an explanation for anything. But you owe me. And it hit me really hard that God doesn't have to explain himself to any human being on earth. And we question him all the time like we're somebody. He's somebody. He's God. And gods don't have to explain themselves to human beings. I say gods, the God, the one and only God. And I have, just theologically in the seminary and all my background and all, it's like, you know, God will show you why this is happening, and God will, he don't have to do that. Does evil and sin and suffering serve a purpose? Yeah, it does. But it's far beyond us most of the time. So let's accept the fact as we move into this message that all this was allowed by the Lord. And Adam and Eve was put in the garden, and they did what they did, and sin came into the world. But God knew they'd do it. So my first premise is that that exists. And it's time to accept it and quit making excuses. It's just there. And things happen to people. And we have no explanation for it. I have none for what's happened to me. Did I do it? Did I cause it? Was it excessive drinking or smoking? And I don't do any of those. As a matter of fact, everybody that knows me knows that I drink stuff that green slime and all kinds of things, and absolutely take all the stuff, the natural stuff, and you know what? It happened anyway. It was meant to be. It was meant to be. Why, Tony? I don't know. Why argue with God about it? It was meant to be. If he wants to tell me, he'll tell me. If he doesn't, he won't. Quit wasting your energy trying to make God do something God doesn't have to do. Accept it. Accept it. That this stuff is real. And we're mere human beings. There's so much we can't even, we couldn't handle it if he told us. We really couldn't. So let's move to this next point. That first point is that stuff, all this stuff is real. Secondly, that God knows every single thing. God knows every single thing. The word for that is omniscience. But we won't play with those big words, but that's what it means. He's omniscient. All knowing. He knows everything. Let me give you Matthew 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Isaiah 46, you may have some of these up here and some you won't. Don't worry about it. He says, I am God and there's no other. Does everybody hear this? I am God, there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do what I please. And we all need to hear that. I needed to hear that. My purpose will stand and I will do what I please. And I want to back up and grab one thing. I brought messages on the two sparrows and not one of them falls to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Did you catch it? God knows those little sparrows and yet they fall to the ground. They drop dead. They don't do it without His knowledge, but they fall to the ground. It's a part of life. And every one of us will fall to our knees. And every one of us will be knocked down. But God knows. And He knows when it's coming. He knows the past, present, and future. But just read it for what it is. Not one of them falls to the ground without your Father knowing it. But they fall to the ground. But He knows it. And there's an appointed time. I'm realizing we have appointed times before we're ever born for certain things to happen. And that's a part of the life experience. But God knowing all this, every single thing, God knows when you speak. He knows when every one of us, when we say something, if we really mean what we say. Begin to hit me kind of hard. It's like, so God knowing everything, He knows, Tony, if you say something, He knows if you mean it or not. And God knows what I think and feel and desire and what I don't desire. I may lie about it to people. All of us do. We all lie to each other all the time. I thought one of the things Christians do is lie to each other. But God knows what we're really thinking. He knows if we mean it or not. He knows when we're faking or playing Christianity. He knows. We can't fool Him. So why do it? If you're really honest, let me ask you, how many of us at one time or another have kind of faked Christianity? We faked the joy. We faked the filling of the Spirit so we'd be acceptable. And one of the things He's shown me through this, and He said, you know, when you were lying there and you're whimpering in pain, what was I teaching you in that? That was real. Don't fake anything anymore. If you don't have it that day, you don't have it. And if you do, let it rip. Be real. You don't have to pretend that you care when you don't care. It's better just to say it. You know, if you don't like somebody, you don't have to go tell them, but don't play like you do. Don't be a hypocrite. Because God knows. He knows everything. And He knows everything you and I will ever go through. And He knows the purpose for it, even though we may never know. So God knows everything all the time. Psalms 139:4 says, God says, before a word is on my tongue, that's what the scripture says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Isn't that incredible? Yeah, before I even say it. So every time you start to cuss, God says, here it comes. And we blurt it out, and it's like, oh, sorry, Lord. He said, I heard it coming where you said it. Let me give you this next one. God is fully everywhere, every place, all the time. Not only does he know everything, but God is fully everywhere, every place, all the time. Jeremiah 23:24 says, can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see? Or I cannot see him, declares the Lord. You'll have to pardon me. One thing I forgot to tell you. And I talked to the doctor about this. My vision kind of gets blurry and then comes back. And he told me it was because of all the anesthesia and all the pain medications they had to inject me with. So if you notice me kind of squinch a little, I've never had this in my life, it'll become fuzzy, then it'll return. So I forgot to tell you, just ignore it. We're okay. And he said, so can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see? See him, declares the Lord. Do not I feel heaven and earth, declares the Lord. So what he's saying is, there's no secret place you can go. There's no place you can go and have a temper fit that I don't see it. You can't go out and do something and commit a sin and I don't know about it. You can't kill somebody and then tell me they died. We get to fooling around and we think we're fooling each other, and God's saying, I'm everywhere all the time. Christians spend so much time appealing to God. Listen to this. We spend so much time appealing to God to come near, Lord. I used to go to old revivals and you'd hear people praying, Lord, come near. Lord, come down. Lord, Lord, come to us. And God is saying, I'm everywhere all the time. I've been here the whole time. It's not me that's the problem, it's you. It's the truth. In every church time, when we meet like this, and God, I've heard people pray, not you, but pastors and evangelists, when we used to do those, and Lord, come down. And they'd get that little quaver in their voice. They'd learn that at seminary. You know, Lord, come down. And all that. And the Lord's saying, where do you think I've been? I'm everywhere. I feel every space. I'm everywhere all the time. I'm right here. I'm standing at the door knocking. I want you to let me in. You don't have to pray for me to come. I'm here. What I want you is to let me in now that I'm here. And he just began to show me this. Like, Tony, how many times have you prayed? Lord, move today. Be with us. You know, he said, where do you think I'm at? You come to worship me, didn't you? Yeah. Well, you think I'm going to ignore you? I'm here. Just experience me. The truth is, God is here. He's everywhere we ever go. He's within every believer, is he not? We're praying, God, come. And God says, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of living God. I live in you. If you're not experiencing me, it's not because I left you. It's because, what do you think? You left me. So why do we feel so lonely, so abandoned, so constantly in search of a God who's already here? Why do we do that? Many Christians go through that on a constant basis. Are we in denial? That we have sin that's unconfessed? Are we in denial that we're not listening? That we're not accepting? I'm not accusing. This is not an accusing message. You know what's wrong with us? We're a roaming people. We're nomadic. We don't want to be still and know that he is God. We want God to know us, but we don't want to surrender and obey God. Does that make sense? We don't want to surrender to the Lord fully. We don't want to give in. We want to question. And that's what he was showing me with what I had to go through. It's like, Tony, part of the reason that you're going through this, I don't have it all, is I'm teaching you to obey me and surrender to me, the Lord, and quit questioning me as to why this is happening and accept that it is because I willed it. And he began to impress it. I was sitting in my house when all this began to happen, and he began to impress upon me, you don't have the right to question me, but I have the right to question you. And you want to know why you're going through this? Why don't you just accept the fact that you are? And submit to me. And watch what I can do. That's why I'm sharing with you just the message that God gave me and how he began to show me how I'm too much in the questioning God mode instead of surrendering to God. Gee, I'm nothing but clay. Aren't we all? And we try to tell him what to do. So the whole time, no matter where you are, what you're doing, right here this morning, God is here. He's everywhere we go. It's just we need to stop long enough to do what? Embrace him. Invite him in. Recognize him. Acknowledge his presence. What would happen? How would it change our environment, change our families, our homes, change the world if we just begin to embrace the Lord everywhere we go, and certainly in a worship setting? If we just stopped and experienced him and let him speak to our hearts about the most important things of life. And let me give you this third premise. Well, actually fourth. The first was there's evil in the world, but let me give you number four. God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. He can do whatever he wants. God can do all and anything he desires to do. God cannot and will not, listen to this. God cannot and will not do anything contrary to his nature. As God, he'll not do anything contrary to his word. God cannot perform evil, and he will not send you into evil. But God allows evil on the earth because it has a purpose. And it's beyond us. There's things here you're going to have to think on these and really let them soak in. But it'll mature you. It'll grow you. I believe I'm a month ahead, not because Tony walked down the aisle, you know, in the hospital hallway, and I got home and I just started out walking 45 minutes a day in my hiking boots. It wasn't me, it was God. The walking is great, it helps. But what really began the healing and put me a month ahead was stop stressing and fighting God and questioning God and accept the fact that you went through a living hell on this earth, and maybe, maybe not, you'll ever know the true reason for it all, but just accept it and turn in obedience to God and say, thank you for getting me through it. And healing comes that way. Healing comes to the heart and it comes to the body. And the tension is gone, and it just goes away, and God will bring you out of it. When he's done with you, you'll know it. You won't get up. But man, when you're still walking, you're still talking, he's not through with us. This stuff right here, we need to, you know, take to heart and contemplate upon it. He'll not do anything sinful. We do sin. It's easy for us. He won't do it. He won't do something, by the way, God won't do something absurd or contradictory to his nature. That's what people do. And God will not violate or compromise or adjust his word. for anybody. And he began to show me in my heart, Tony, don't ever compromise my word just to make people feel good. There's too many out there doing that. Don't compromise my word and tell people something to make them, to tickle their ears and make them feel all good, and because that's not the truth. There's a bunch of guys, and some of them are extremely wealthy and extremely well-known, that are telling people, if you just believe and if you just do this, like, we're going to make God do something. And God is just, he's God. What are you going to make him do? We're here to surrender and obey. You want to be happy? Give in to him. Accept him in your heart all the way. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Does this mean we don't pray? Does this mean we don't believe? Of course not. We pray. We believe. We ask him for things. But when it doesn't turn out the way that we were programming God to do it, don't we all do that? We have a preconceived idea. We have a plan, and God's going to do it this way. And then God all of a sudden says, don't think so. That's what he did to me. Every procedure I went through, and God's going to fix it this time, and God's going to do this, and God's going to do that. And he said, I don't think so. 5 times, I don't think so. So I went for number 6, and he said, I don't think so. And it's like, wow. Did I have to wait this long in life to learn this stuff? And it's like, apparently so. Job 42 says, I know the Lord that you can do all things and no plan of yours can be thwarted. Take this to heart. And in Matthew 19, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. With God all things are possible. So let me give you some insights. As if this isn't enough, we'll have a few more insights and practical application, then we'll close. I want to give you Mark 9, verse 49. Probably won't be up here because God revealed it and I sent this in, but you know, anyway. Do you know what it says? Have you ever caught this verse in Mark? It says, everyone will be salted with fire. How about that? Everyone will be salted with fire. You know what that means? Every person, every Christian, is going to have their day of hell on this earth. And they're going to feel the fire of suffering, hurt, pain, loss. We miss these passages. We really don't want to hear them, and I don't either. But we have to face them. And I've had to face a lot going through this, because everyone will be salted with, not with salt, not with water, but with fire. You know why? It burns away the junk that doesn't need to be inside of us. You get your priorities straight. But Everybody will be salted with fire. This is not meant to make us all go, gee, it's to help us. I guess I'm seeing more and more why I had to go through this, to bring this kind of word so that you won't have to go through these things if you can get it right now. I guess I just wasn't grasping it the right way. So here's our insights and practical stuff that we want to wrap it up with. God is everywhere. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's also a God of love. And when you accept Jesus in your heart and you repent of your sins, you have the God of love, and he's on your side from now on. But don't think that he's going to keep you from being salted with fire. He won't. You repent and you believe in Jesus, God promises you salvation. Everybody good with that? One of the promises you can count on from God is that when you repent of your sins and you ask Jesus in your heart, God promises you, you'll be saved. That's his promise. God promises you then not only salvation, but what? Eternal life. You're promised heaven from the Lord. That's His promise. You know what else He promises? Forgiveness. And God knows we all need it every moment of every day. He promises that. And He promises not to put more on us than we can bear, but to provide a way of escape. That's His promise. And He promises our bodies are His temple. You know what that means? The devil can never take your body again. He might mess with your head. He might cause all kinds of problems in your life. But because your body is the temple living God, the devil can never possess it. Everybody good with that? That's the power we have. That's God's promise. That's His power within us. We're His temple and nobody else's. And then we find that God uses evil to reveal His righteousness. On the cross, God used evil to reveal His righteousness in what Jesus suffered. And when He rose again, see, evil killed Jesus, and God used it to show His righteousness. That's how He uses evil and sin and suffering on this earth. Well, Jesus has ascended and He's living in us. And if He went through that, guess who's next? And we must be willing to go and be salted with fire so that we can be that kind of a living testimony to other people. When you see it that way, it makes sense, doesn't it? That's what we're here for. That's what it's about. We're not here for us. We're here for Him. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. But we're here for Him. God uses evil to bring glory to Himself, to reveal His righteousness and His goodness and His love and His mercy. There's a few things here I want to share with you that were not promised. But we pray for them and most often get them. But God did not promise immunity from sin, the effects of sin, did He? Think about it. God promised deliverance from sin, but He did not promise that we would not suffer from the effects of sin. Other people's sins. We're suffering from other people's sins right now in this country, are we not? And God didn't promise we wouldn't. And you see, we get this in our head. That we're somehow got this special protection from the effects of sins, our own sins, other people's sins. As a matter of fact, the effects of our sins is going to cause, that's what's going to cause our bodies to go back to the dust and we get a new body, but that's the effects of sin. He didn't promise us that we'd be protected from the elements. I've always kind of looked at it. I have His protection. Well, you do. You pray for it and believe for it. But did He promise you that hailstones wouldn't fall on you? No. Did He promise you lightning wouldn't strike? And I don't want to experience that. But you with me? Did He promise you you'd never have a car wreck? Did He promise Tony he'd never have a tumor in his stomach that led to all this? No, He didn't. Assumed that. Did He promise to protect us from bad people and bad things? You can answer that yourself. We're exposed to bad people and bad things. Just like Jesus was. Was Jesus protected from them? They abused Him. They cursed Him. They ridiculed Him. The whole time He was on this earth. He was slandered constantly and they sought to kill Him and they finally did. Look at our example. Look at our Savior. We're Christians, but we're exposed to the elements, to the things of this world. We have to live in it. He's not going to take us out yet. For the sake of time, I'll just cut this down a little bit. You know what happens? And God spoke this word to my heart. Tony, you talk about the younger generation and their feelings of entitlement. How about you and my Christians today Don't you feel a little bit entitled and you take me for granted? And all I could say is, yes, I do. I thought I was entitled to protection from all this stuff. I thought I was entitled to be healed when I called on you to heal me. I thought I was entitled to be delivered. And God has said, see, I do these things for my people all the time, but you're not entitled to them, and I don't have to do them. You remember back a long time ago when this Rabbi Kushner wrote this book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People? Does anybody remember that book? Yeah. He was writing from his perspective, the rabbi, Jewish perspective. My question there was this: who's good? Bad things don't happen to good people, because the scripture says, even Jesus, he said, no one is good. Don't call me good. Only the Father's good. Nobody's good. So bad things can't happen to good people, because none of us are good. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. So bad things happen to sinful people. We need to start being thankful for God's grace and His salvation, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and then we're guaranteed heaven. And whatever else happens, we've got to be faithful and obedient and give Him the praise and honor and glory. And the quicker you do that, the quicker you'll come out of it, and the quicker you'll be healed. You won't win every battle. These TV guys and all that, they're telling you, you're going to win, you're going to win, you're going to win every... No, we don't win every battle. You won't climb every mountain. And you won't cross every river and not sink a little bit. You won't walk on water. God answers prayers. God works miracles. But He does it by His choice. We ask Him, and we leave the choice to Him. And it's not our place to get angry. It's our place to praise Him no matter what He decides to do. This is one of the deepest messages that I'll bring for a long time, probably. But God had to work me over. And I just put it down as He gave it to me and showed me. God will work. He answers prayers and God works miracles, but He doesn't have to do it. But I'm going to tell you this. You don't win every battle. You don't climb every mountain, and you don't walk on water, and you don't cross every river without getting really wet and sometimes going under a few times, but you do win in the end. You win in the end. The victory is yours. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. On this life on earth, it's a seesaw battling up and down and all around. And by the way, you hear people say out here, the battle is between God and evil. No, it's not. God's already defeated evil. The battle is between God's people and evil. God defeated evil at the cross, and He led captivity captive. God's not in some war with evil like He's some stressed out, weak God. God's already defeated Satan. Now we have to take that power that He offers us and defeat him in our own lives through faith and prayer. God's already won this thing. Take the victory and live in it. The doctor told me not to get riled up about that. Let me close. Our place is not to question God. Our place is to be grateful, to honor God, to worship God. Our place is to remember the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 64:8. He said, "Yet, O Lord, You are our Father, and we are the clay. You are the potter, and we are all the work of Your hand." Closing scripture is from the book of Job. Job, we know, went through... I'm not Job. I didn't go through anything like that. But we've all had Job experiences, and Job finally spoke some things that he was feeling, and Here's what the Lord said in Job 38. You can mark this down, read it for yourself. I'm going to read a small bit of it. The Lord answered Job out of the storm and he said, "Who is this?" He spoke to Job, but he was speaking to me on this one too. "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man and I'll question you, and you will answer me." This hit me so hard. He said, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Well, surely you know." I felt about this high. Surely, you see what God's got to, you know, he was twisting it in here, and he does it with us. You know, we all need to hear this, and we need to take it to heart. You know, where were you when I did all this stuff? You know, and who stretched, you know, surely you know, and who stretched a measuring line across it, on what were its footing set, and who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. And then he says, "Who shut up the sea behind its doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and wrapped in thick darkness?" And he says, "Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place?" Boy, he put Job in his place in a hurry, but he put me in my place, and he puts us all in our place. And he said, "Job, just where were you when I did all these things?" Before you start thinking you're so entitled and so high and mighty and all this kind of stuff, where were you when I did these great ones and created this whole earth and the universe and everything about it? And you need to read all this. It goes on for quite a while. But I close with the words of Job in this. And he said, God said, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." And I have to answer with the words of Job. Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." There it is, friends. Ours, our mission, our calling is not to contend with the Lord, but to fall in step with him and to embrace him and to let him take us through the rivers, our suffering, our procedures, our operations, our losses, or whatever it may be. And we may lose a few battles, but we win in the end. And it's all about God. It always has been, and it always will be. And Lord, you are the potter, I am the clay. And I put my hand over my mouth before I question you again. I accept and surrender to your perfect will, whatever it may be. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you all for being here.